for them to see, hey, maybe I'm not alone in this. And so to watch the change in them, you know, the young people that go, it really, it's exciting to see, but it also is really inspiring for the adults to see as well.
I think that perpetuates the me characterization we always make of the younger generation, because and we tend to think, since we don't see as many involved in activist causes like this, that the culture is overriding God. Instead mm-hmm. of it being about God mm-hmm. and what he wants from us, it's me.
Correct. And you know,
that's exciting.
A lot of people look at the young people and see everything in their lives are focused on them.
Yes.
The iPhone, the iPad, yes. the everything, you know. But then beyond that, the selfie,
right.
I'm guilty of all these things too, but the thing to remind ourselves is that we keep the focus on God.
Yes.
And we start to turn ourselves from looking interiorly, where our society says, look at yourself. What's going to benefit you? What's going to benefit you? To what are we going to do for others? And experiences like this really kind of shake them up and really start to give them a perspective outside of themselves that they might not have ever considered. So the March for Life is really quite an experience. This year we went out there, so there were quite a few from our diocese, or quite a few from our parish, but there were almost 800,000 people is the last
incredible.
Count
wow.
I heard.
Yeah.
Which is really
incredible.
Remarkable. Yeah. It's the largest that I've ever heard, at least for the March for Life. You know, they're always estimates. So, but at the same time, usually it's about 400,000 to 500,000 people. I mean, even last year with the blizzard, there was still about 400,000, 300,000 people, I think, that came, even with the threat of the blizzard. And it really was remarkable to see that many still show up with that threat. But then beyond that, to see 800,000 people marching for life was just remarkable.
Can't imagine what that even looks like. Yeah,
it's just a sea of people. It's just constant. You know, the only things that I've seen that are even comparative in any way is, World Youth Day mm-hmm. crowd. So, I've been to a couple World Youth Days now, and both in Madrid and Poland, and both of them are experiences of millions of people. But this is the first experience that a lot of kids really have for what the Universal Church looks like. It's more than just my parish community.
Now, Father, the March for Life, actually the march is the culmination of the event, right? There's
Correct.
A mass, and there's speakers, and there's a lot going on other than just the march. Mm-hmm. The march is how it basically wraps up with the keynote speakers and things. Can you tell us about the mass and some of the other things that went on?
So the March for Life is more than just the march. It's a whole experience. And with 800,000 people, there's tons of things going on. So there's youth rallies, and there's concerts, and there's Eucharistic adoration. There's mass. There's prayers. There's all kinds of really beautiful events that are leading up to the march as kind of vigils. Plus, then in the morning of the march, there's all these different events that are also rallying people to get excited, and also again mass to start the day. And so there's so many differing events that you can go to at the March for Life, but one of our favorites is the Vigil Mass at the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, the Basilica Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. It's on the campus of Catholic University of America, CUA, and it's a huge church. It's a really beautiful church. If you've never been, and you're ever in Washington, D.C., make sure to take the time to go see the shrine, plus also the shrine of St. John Paul the Great, St. John Paul II, which is also really nearby, the basilica as well. But we always go out there, and we usually get there early and camp out. But on the way there this year, we actually stopped in Emmitsburg, Maryland, and went to the shrine of Mother Seton, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and mm-hmm. saw where she is buried, and got to venerate her relics and get a tour of the campus there where Mother Seton really started, and how she had her sisters there, and how these sisters really grew to really build our Catholic education system in
exactly.
America. It's remarkable. So for the kids to get to see that, to really start off our day after a nice long bus trip overnight, that's not always real.
A lot of stiff necks.
Yeah, not a lot of comfortable sleeping, I'll tell you that. But it's one of those sacrifices that you make for this. And I think some people, I think it discourages, but I really think that kind of, it's one of those like tests, you know, you made it through, and it really kind of even builds you up for the event that you're giving that up. And when we do these sacrifices and we do them prayerfully, they really do change who we are and what we're doing. Oh. But then we, after seeing the shrine, we went to, we headed to DC and we went to the Basilica, and the Basilica is actually under construction this year. So, they're doing another dome, and they're doing the Trinity Dome in the Basilica Shrine. So it will be very beautiful, but it's not done yet. So because of that, there was a little bit less seating upstairs, and we also had a little bit of delay because of different things. So because of that, we did not get to sit upstairs as the group. I this is the first time I've ever been where we haven't been upstairs as an entire group. So I always tell people, watch the Vigil Mass, and you almost always see our group because there's so many of us, and we usually sit in such a prominent location. But because of the delay and the lack of seating, we were downstairs in the crypt this year as a group. But what's so remarkable is the Basilica is just, I mean, it's just a sea of people. There's people everywhere, you know, in the aisles, and you know, the pews are just jam-packed, and there's people everywhere, and there's people in the basement, and there's chairs, wow, set up everywhere, and the, you know, they've got all these TVs that are live streaming the Mass upstairs, and you know, so no matter where you see and sit, no matter what you're doing, you get to see the action, but you get to feel such a part of it because there is such a large crowd. And so you know, it really is remarkable. Plus the Mass, there's hundreds of seminarians, hundreds of deacons that are, you know, many permanent deacons, but also a lot of guys that are on their way to priesthood, yeah, you know, transitional deacons. So that, you know, to see these awesome, you know, young people that are fired up for their faith, that are giving their lives, is really wonderful. And then all these priests, and, you know, generally they send the young priests to these events because the guys that are a little bit more experienced, I won't say older, but more experienced,
they know the love language.
Yeah, they've been on that trip, they've been on that bus, they're not really eager to do that again, or they, you know, they know somebody's got to stick around and do the work at home so us young guys can go and do that. And it really is remarkable to see all these young priests and all these priests gathered together, as well as then, you know, I think there were like 50 or 60 bishops that were there, and then
five
cardinals.
I heard it was a record number of cardinals and bishops, yes, this year.
And it really was, you know, it's just remarkable because you get to see the whole church there. And you know, the procession, it goes on forever, but the excitement of people watching the procession, because you're just so excited to see the future of the priesthood, yes, and all these seminarians, yes, and how, you know, I always tell people, yeah, they tell me I look so young, but these guys make me look old. Yeah. You know, these guys are so young and they look so young.
Once you get our age.
Exactly. They're so energetic, and it really is a joy to see that at the Mass, and to be a part of this, and to see the joy and to see the excitement, just to sing with all these people, to pray, you know, to praise our God, to worship our God in right praise is remarkable. You know, Cardinal Dolan was the celebrant and the homilist, and mm-hmm, his homily was just excellent and really, you know, got us fired up for the march for the next day. And this whole experience really just builds us up. And
adrenaline rush.
It really is. It really is. And it builds us up. And then we finally get to go and check into our hotel room and shower and feel like a clean
teeth.
Human being again. And
well, you know, that's, I wanted to remind everybody, we're talking to Father Stephen Erisman from the parish of Our Lady of the Holy Spirit and St. Isidore's about the March for Life. And Father Erisman, I want to ask you, the logistics of this thing have to be absolutely incredible, to have food for all those people and lodging, and, you know, just the logistics in and of itself would be an amazing thing.
I don't know how they balance all of it, but they've gotten very good at it. They've really gotten excellent at it. Now, Washington, D.C. is used to protests. Washington, D.C. is used to crowds. But we are that, you know, we are the largest crowd they usually see for the March for Life. And it really is remarkable how well they handle it. But also beyond that, the march organizers really do an excellent job. They really do. The planning goes well. We stayed in Springfield, Virginia, which is just outside of the city. It's not that far away. Mm-hmm. And it's an easy drive in and out. And, you know, so it the lodging is sometimes hard to find, but also at the same time, usually can find something, you know, remotely close. And you know, we always try to stay in a hotel because you do ride the bus out, you do ride the bus back, so that way we do get some sleep those nights. And it really is a great experience. So then on the march day, they have the rallies in the morning, and then after that you go to the mall, and usually you're you're gathered somewhere in the mall, that depending on the year, some the locations have changed, and sometimes you're closer to the Washington Monument, sometimes you're more in the middle between the Washington Monument and the Capitol building. But there's all kinds of different places that they've placed the different rallies, but then they have speakers that come out, different religious speakers, different political speakers. They also have different just people who witness to their experience of either going through an abortion and the pain and the suffering that they went through, or the people who have actually survived an abortion. We've got a lot of really dynamic, brilliant speakers who they were attempted to be aborted and somehow survived by God's grace. And because of just the right circumstances, the doctor that would normally have actually probably executed them mm-hmm. in some way or killed them in some way wasn't there, and so they survived.
Wow.
And their witness is remarkable, and there's so many great YouTube videos of those speakers. But so the kids get to hear that, and then this year, what kind of really threw everything off was this is the first time we've had anybody from the White House come.
Yeah. I was going to ask about the Vice President. Yes.
You know, we always have had not always, let me rephrase that. Oftentimes, different presidents have made some kind of remarks, or they've recorded a video message or some kind of audio message that they play. And therefore they do have some kind of support for the march. The last 8 years, they've kind of ignored us altogether.
So yeah.
And but the even before that, we've never had somebody from the White House come, so this did change the event. Now, I know I've heard from different people that I know that have worked in politics in D.C. said sometimes they've not come because they know it would change the security regulations if they did. And it does. And so this year was kind of a change, but it was a very welcome change, having Vice President Pence there. His speech was excellent. To hear him talk about, his wife introduced him and said this isn't their first march, that they've been to the March for Life themselves many times before.
I have read that.
And how I loved her comment, this is the warmest march they think they've ever been to. And I have to say, as cold as it was, and I think a lot of our kids thought it was cold, it was actually pretty warm comparatively to what we've had in the past. We've had snow, we've had rain, we've had these cold, cold temperatures plus the wind. And so, this year was really remarkable having Pence there, having Kellyanne Conway, having some of these great speakers that have come there. Mia Love was there. Their talks were excellent and just inspiring, absolutely inspiring about their witness for life and how they stand for life.
I saw Mia Love's speech on EWTN, and it was very, very moving. Mm-hmm. And, I think Vice President Pence may have come up with a new tagline when he said, life is winning.
Yes.
And we're beginning to see a change in the culture, like you said, with these young people being so enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. And we can hear it as you're talking about it, the adrenaline and enthusiasm of just talking about it.
Listening to that line and him pronounce it, even on the national news, just sent excitement and shivers through you.
Because
it was so
does.
Sincere.
It really, and it is. That's the thing about Vice President Pence is, if anything, he is very sincere. And he is just a wonderful inspiration for us, and that was really excellent to have that witness and that presence. He said that President Trump did send him, and whether or not you're a supporter of him or not, the fact that he is standing for life is a great thing. Yeah,
huge,
it is huge. Yeah, but the things that I just find remarkable is just to see. Just the peace and the joy and the love that these people have, these thousands upon thousands upon thousands that gather, and the fascinating thing is you'll talk to, while you're standing there waiting in line, you'll end up talking to a police officer, you'll end up talking to somebody that's doing their job, and they're just wonderful people, but they always tell us, we don't mind you guys coming, you're always so respectful, you're always so gracious, you're always so loving, and how the feel of our protests over the last 40 years are completely different than any other march or protest that they have in Washington, D.C.
Well, the week before, that march was just full of hate and vitriol. And,
oh, my gosh.
And you could just, it was palpable. You could just see by watching.
It was vulgar.
They were,
vulgar.
Women
exactly.
dressed up in costumes that were just obscene. It was just
And the language. And the fact that many people brought their children to this thing where the
Shocking.
Language was just so horrific.
Shocking.
And
yeah.
and how they
and
don't
thought it
seem...
would be such a great experience.
Yes,
for them,
and I think some thought it was going to be something where they thought. I think a lot of women went with a different mentality than what the march actually was about.
Yeah.
They just heard a march for women, and they thought, "I'm going to go," but they had no idea the true. Rhetoric behind it, and how the pro-abortion movement would not allow anybody who was pro-life to be there.
Yeah,
and some of the pro-life people that went anyway and marched ended up getting, you know, pushed down or berated by the other women that were there, which it just blows my mind. These people who are supposed to have an open mind, who are supposed to be welcoming all women, and yet just because they don't stand for the exact same thing, they don't stand for
now,
women.
It's remarkable if they heard this, but in my mind, that conjures up the Klan and the African Americans. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they try
well,
and
don't
go
forget
out
the Klan was after Catholics as well.
Exactly, exactly. But just the fact that they beat up and degraded those who showed up with a different opinion.
Yes.
I don't know.
It was certainly a breath of fresh air. To see the following week, the streets of Washington were cleansed or purged or whatever of that hate and vitriol, and love prevailed and life prevailed, and to see the vice president there on our side,
life is winning.
On the side of life, life is winning.
Joy that you know the police officers made a lot of comments, and the different people that you'd encounter at the stores and the restaurants, and the different people you encounter on the streets that live there. They talked about the very, very vast difference between the march before, the week before, and our march.
I think it's good that they were back to back like that, so that people could see and remember the difference.
But, you know, the other remarkable thing about the march this year is I don't think we've ever gotten this much coverage.
Yeah.
Ever. And I think that had to do with many things. I think, number one, they covered the march the weekend before so much that it would have been so absolutely hypocritical and bluntly hypocritical that it would have really stood out if they didn't cover our march. Because as many people said, well, where were the millions? Well, we actually had more people in Washington, D.C. That were marching for life than there were the week before. But then beyond that, the really remarkable thing was just the to hear them respond to how different it was for us to be there than it was the weekend before, and to see how different just even the cleanup effort. When we leave, there's people drop things and there's going to be litter, but even that, I watch kids that pick things up as they see it dropped and throw it away, and just to see the difference in it of the what's left behind is just remarkable.
Well, God makes a difference when He's present,
very much so,
and especially when He's welcomed and invited and held high.
Okay, well, you know what, Mark? We're just about out of time.
Doggone it.
We are going to ask Father Steve to stay for the next segment and read this week's upcoming gospel.
Oh, good.
And we're going to do that on the other side of this break. And you're listening to The Cradle and the Convert with Mark Bartholomew and Dave Slade right here on 88.9, 96.5.
Don't go away.
WDCR.
Did you know that the human heart begins beating 3 weeks and 1 day following fertilization? This is the same time frame before the majority of women even realize they are pregnant. Between this time and birth, an unborn child's heart will beat approximately 54 million times and can be detected using ultrasound technology. Human life is sacred. Think about it. CoalitionForLife.com.
Okay, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. Father Stephen Erisman is our guest this morning, and he is going to give us this week's preview of Sunday's gospel. Father?
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, what can it be seasoned? With what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is such a rich gospel. There's so much to talk about. But, you know, one of the things that is remarkable about it is we are seen as Catholics, and we are held to a different standard as Catholics, and people look at us very differently, and they should. And I keep telling my people, we really should look different. We should be something different. But we are going to be looked at and set on that mountain one way or another. And it's whether or not our light is going to shine or whether it is not. It is whether or not our salt is going to be something that's effective and something that's going to have great seasoning and great flavor for this world, or whether or not it's going to lose its flavor, whether or not we keep that focus on Christ being the light that shines in us, Christ being the salt that is in us that really seasons and flavors this world in the way that God really asks us to be. He is the light that is shining in this world, and he actually asks us to be that light and that ministry that reaches out in those good deeds serving one another. So if we really live as we're called to live as good disciples, if we are those stewards of those many gifts that God gives us, we will be that flavoring. We will bring a new life to this world, a new light to this world, because it will be Christ shining in us. They'll see that light in us, and they will see Christ instead of us. And that light will shine, and they will see our good deeds and Christ doing those good deeds in us. So we must continue to glorify our Heavenly Father. We must continue to live our life for him. And the more and more we do that, the more and more we will be that mountaintop city that is seen by all, that others can follow and really be attracted to Christ in us, and that they can follow after him as well.
Amen.
Amen. You do so much better than we do trying to figure out what the gospel is.
I don't believe that one bit. I love listening to you guys. You do a great
Father,
job.
Father, we always have to give a disclaimer before we talk about it, that we're just lay people.
But, go ask your priest about this.
We do like to key on a word and what it means to us, but it's just so much more when we have a priest, and you or Father Nick,
exactly.
Or Father John, Father Joe, Father Rick. All of you guys are so good to Catholic Radio.
And that speaks to me about Jesus being sent into the world as a light. He wasn't intended to be thrown out and trampled underfoot, nor was he to be confined and placed under the basket, which dimmed his light.
Exactly. Father, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It means a lot to us, and you're just so vibrant, and the things you're doing with the youth in St. Teresa and your parishes, it really is.
Very exciting.
It's been a joy being here, and I'm really loving it, and I just can't get enough of it. It's great.
Good.
God bless WDCR.
Thank you.
Okay, Mark, it means a lot when we have a priest come in and be our
sure
guest.
Sure does.
It's a chance for them to get known in the community, and people get to hear their thoughts on things.
And we get to learn more.
Oh, yeah, it's a blessing, and people don't have to listen to our take on what we thought the gospel
meant. Yeah, exactly.
But, we have really run over today.
Yes, we have.
Two great guests, Deacon O'Toole and Father Erisman. It was a great show with lots of
stuff.
And
we had to cut both of them off, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, we'll have to shoot for...
bring them back.
We should have an hour a day show.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, we're just kidding, folks. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I thought, Mark, maybe this would be an opportunity to close the show in prayer with a prayer for the returned of lapsed Catholics to the sacraments.
Indeed. Okay? I think so, too.
All right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Return of the lapsed Catholics to the sacraments, Almighty Father, you desire not death of the sinner, but that he may be converted and live. Pour out upon us your mercy, and hear the prayers of your servants. Soften the hearts of your children who have strayed from the true path which you established for their salvation. They are now forgetful of their duties as Catholics and pursue the pleasures of the world. Grant that they may quickly return to the practice of every Christian virtue, so their lives may shine with the integrity of faith, the fervor of piety, and the ardor of charity. Restore them all to your sacraments and the life of your grace through the merits of the precious blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey, I got a little surprise for you.
Okay.
Next week on the Cradle and the Convent, we have guest hosts setting in for us. Catherine Smith will be the cradle.
Yeah.
And Sharon Shalosky will be the convert.
That's going to be exciting.
They're going to bring in some different guests and put a little different twist on the show, The Cradle and the Convert. And I'm excited about it.
Well, me too.
I'll be here to
hope they don't outrate us. You know, we could end up out of a job here.
Jim might cancel our
contract. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Oh boy.
We'll have to find another place to meet. Something else to do.
God's will be done, my friend.
Yeah.
All right. For Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, this is The Cradle and the Convert. God bless y'all.
Yep.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio. Love is but a song.